I'd like to call the June 20th, 2019 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Rushing?
Here.
Ms. Russell? Mr. Tui?
Here.
I am here. Ms. Carroll?
Here.
Ms. Loeb?
Here.
Mr. McMahon?
Present.
Mr. Stanton?
Here.
Mr. Strodman? We have seven. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zenner, are there any changes to the agenda?
Yes, there is this evening, ma'am. Case number 131, 2019, which was the subject of the revised agenda, was tabled for a public hearing. It has actually been moved up under withdrawn requests. So this is an item now that will be withdrawn, not heard this evening under public hearings. That is the only change to the agenda. And we will cover that withdrawal after we've had the agenda and minutes approved.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Stanton, seconded by Mr. McMahon. A vote, thumbs up vote on approval of agenda. Unanimous. Thank you. Everyone should have gotten the June 6th, 2019 regular meeting minutes. Were there any changes or additions to the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes from June 6th, 2019 regular meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Stanton. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tui. Can I get a thumbs up approval on the minutes? Unanimous. Moving into subdivisions. Our first case of the evening is 147.
Withdrawn request.
Oh, withdrawal request first. Thank you. First. Business will be withdrawing the public hearing case 131-2019, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Fifth Street Properties LLC and the Broadway Office Park Condominium Association for a major amendment of the Lake Broadway Lot 4A PD plan modifications to the plan, including a newly designed building on Lot 4A, redesigned parking areas and drive aisles, and an additional vehicular access point from Gary Street to the north. The subject site is located southeast of the intersection of Pershing Road and Gary Streets and contains 2.27 acres. This item was tabled at the June 6th, 2019 Planning Commission meeting. As we've just heard, has been withdrawn from this. A request to withdraw has been made for this evening.
And as a request, it does not require a vote. The applicant is choosing to withdraw it on their own. It is a matter of information that we are providing this evening. Applicant is having issues with the condominium ownership issues. I believe this was a point that maybe Mr. McMahon had raised at our last meeting on June 6th. Apparently, they have not been able to resolve that matter and have chosen to withdraw the case and potentially resubmit at a later date once the ownership issues have been addressed. We do have an applicant's agent here this evening if there are any questions of the commission from Crockett Engineering. So if there are none, it is, again, a matter of information that we are providing to you that this item is being withdrawn from our agenda for consideration at this point.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? And Mr. McMahon.
Just a real quick comment. I would like to thank, or I'm very appreciative that we do have an agent here, even though we're withdrawn.
All right. Do we do public hearing or no, if there's no questions?
The application's been withdrawn. There is no need for a public hearing. We've noticed it, we've informed the public that the item has been withdrawn, and that's all that's necessary. No vote needed to accept that withdrawal either.
All right. Withdrawal is duly noted. Now we will move on to subdivisions. case 147-2019. A request by a civil group on behalf of 763 Real Estate LLC for a two-lot final plat of industrial general zoned property constituting the replat of Lot 2, Gaslight Industrial Park, Plat 3, and the final plat of previously unplatted property to be known as Gaslight Industrial Park, Plat 4. The approximately 3.25-acre site is located on the east side of Highway 763, approximately 550 feet north of International Drive, and is commonly addressed as 5210 and 5250 North Highway 763. May we have a staff report, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you stated, this is a request for a final plat for two separate parcels on about 3 acres. This is the oblique aerial of the site. As you can see, it's along the east side of Highway 763, otherwise known as Rangeline Street. Currently, right now, the property owner has one large IG zoned lot. They recently purchased some additional unplatted property that was directly next to the site, and that is the piece down in the lower left corner of the plat. They're looking to create a legal lot on the piece they had purchased, and part of this is kind of reapportioning some of the property that was on the existing lot. So that required bringing both the parcels into this plat. So the existing lot is being replatted. A little of that property is being shifted to the unplatted property, and the resultant is a two-lot final plat. Both of them have access along 763, but it does require the extension of sewer to reach the new lot 401. Again, there in the lower left corner of that property. So with that being said, it does meet all regulations of the UDC, and we're recommending approval. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open up the floor for any comments, public comments. None, we'll close public hearing, public comment, period. Commission discussion.
I move for approval of the final plat of Gaslight Industrial Park, Plat 3.
Second.
There's a motion to approve and a second by Mr. Toohey. Discussion on the motion. I had one question, if no one else has any comments, about the proposed MC across from the R2 housing, because it did strike me that the previous use there was smaller retail, all under 10,000 square feet.
Is that in context of a different case? This is all zoned IG currently. I don't think that is that a was that one of the rezoning
I cases? Believe that's a case that's going to come up.
Oh,
the next case.
Yep. Okay, sorry, you're yep. Right.
Well, we rearranged the agenda, so I understand.
I withdraw my comment.
And if I may clarify for the record, this is actually Gaslight Industrial Park Plat 4 that you are approving, not Plat 3. We apologize for that.
Plat 3 was the existing lot plat, but the Plat 4 would be the new plat.
So, Ms. Rushing, will you accept
that amendment? I move for approval of final plat of Gaslight Industrial Park, Plat 4.
Thank you.
Seeing no additional, Mr. Stanton, did you have a comment?
I just wanted to say on the record, it's very odd we don't have anybody to
present
this case. I'm just saying that if we had any questions, we wouldn't have anybody to answer them. So
I think they are in the audience. I think given that this is a very straightforward issue, I don't think they are choosing to come forward.
Okay.
I don't want to speak for them, but that's my assumption.
Okay. Okay.
Any additional comments? Seeing none, Ms. Burns, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Mr. Toohey?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
7-0, motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to public hearings, case 142-2019, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of SBSR Properties, LLC, to rezone 0.85 acres from R2, two-family dwelling, to RMF, multifamily dwelling. The subject site is located at the northwest corner of Clark Lane and McKee Street. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. Excuse me. So you've hit most of these notes here. Just for reference, though, the public notice section, the public information meeting was held on the 28th of May. There were 16 postcards sent to neighboring property owners. I believe there were four neighboring property owners or concerned citizens in attendance, mainly just asking questions about what was proposed there. It was advertised in the paper on the 3rd of June, and the same 16 property owners received letters shortly thereafter. I'll get into background. So the applicants have indicated to us that they are intending here to basically address the market need that they see for one-bedroom units. They plan to construct 8 units on this property, so there'll be 8 single-bedroom units within a building. There are some similar developments in the neighboring in the neighborhood to the north here, one being the McKee Estates PUD, which is 33 units. There is a little difference in this case, or in on this plan. It was never actually constructed, but as in the report, the zoning entitlement would still be in place. So their 7 unit per acre density would still be permitted on that site, although the PUD plan is old enough that now that it's kind of dormant or defunct, and they would be required to submit a new plan at this time if they wanted to build it out to anything similar to that. As you can see from the plan there, there's some open space to the north, so that impacts their density numbers. They have 33 units total there, and it's kind of hard to see, but it's condensed into these 4 buildings, and then the third unit's actually a single family house that exists there to this day. The other item, property just 500 feet to the north of the subject property, is the McKee Street PUD. That development has 12 units, which would equate to 6.6 units per acre. And again, they have roughly half their property is devoted to open space. So that, again, impacts their density numbers. Just for reference, the open RMF that's being requested on this property would permit up to 17.4 units per acre. The crux there, though, being that they would still have to provide parking and access for each of those units. So the smaller site that we're dealing with would constrain that somewhat. For reference sake, I think I get into in just a minute. I'll get to that in a second. Anyway, so as I said, they're intending 8 one-bedroom units. Upon review, staff believes that the 8 units in this location are going to have a similar impact to an R1 development on this site. The one concern, though, is without a plan district, the RMF has little design controls, and as I said, it would potentially allow a higher density given all the proper amenities such as parking if they're addressed. So realistically, though, this property could yield 4 duplexes or 8 units, which could ostensibly expand out or include up to 32 bedrooms, so 4 bedrooms per 8 units. Again, parking and access are a concern that would have to be addressed. And then also, in its current state, just according to minimum lot sizes, the lot's 35,000 square feet or above, actually. So by the code, 7,000 square feet is what's required for a duplex unit. So The current arrangement, the lot arrangement, could allow a fifth potential unit, but the reason we said realistically four duplexes is because roughly 7,000 square feet of the property has to be dedicated as right-of-way upon platting. So they'll lose roughly one duplex lot in right-of-way for Clark Lane and a small bit for McKee Street as well. So I just wanted to throw in a map here to give you a little frame of references for the location of these different multifamily uses. The subject site's at the southern end here, right on Clark Lane and McKee Street. And you can tell it's a smaller parcel. The McKee Street PUD, which is the 12 unit, is the one in the middle. And then the McKee Estates is the one to the north. That was the 33 units. And as you can see, it was never built. But again, that density would still be honored today. So the other multifamily, as you can see, is centrally located to the neighborhood. The subject site is probably actually a more appropriate location for this density. It actually is it's consistent in line with the Columbia Imagine comprehensive plan, in that the goals and objectives of that were to concentrate intensive uses and residential densities at nodal locations, being major intersections. And I wouldn't call McKee and Clark necessarily a major intersection, but Clark is obviously a major roadway. And roughly 500 feet to the west, you're running into what I would consider a major transportation node, which is the Clark and Ballinger Lane intersection. So this is really kind of a prime location for multifamily residential, according to the comprehensive plan. So just a quick alternative, if the applicant pursued a plan district here, something similar would be a PD-10, which would be 10 units per acre. That would require development plan approval, which you know. It is a small parcel, so it's kind of maybe overkill to do plan district on such a single-use type of situation. They're not going to have multiple uses on this property or anything like that. And they don't have really any extenuating circumstances that would suggest a need for a PD. Also, the neighborhood protection standards in the UDC are in place to protect the neighboring property owners from such developments. So screening will be required in the areas where they're adjacent to single family, which is just on the north side. I believe there's R2 to the west, which would require screening at a smaller scale, I believe. So you actually have a public comment sent to me today in front of you via email. There were also, I believe, three public comments received that were in your staff report. Those comments were from concerned citizens, mainly having the kind of typical density-related issues being increased crime and traffic and noise concerns. Those are there for your reference and for consideration. But with that, I think staff's recommendation would be to approve the rezoning from R2 to RMF, given that this is an appropriate location and it's consistent with the Columbia Imagined Comprehensive Plan. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Are there any questions for staff? I see. Oh, Mr. McMahon.
Ms.
Rushing.
I'm sorry.
No, please go ahead.
No.
I apologize.
The eyes in the back of my head.
I apologize. I have a friend in the hospital.
They're going to arm wrestle.
Just texted me. Please go ahead.
I was just, is this going to have a traffic exit onto Clark Lane?
No, it would actually be onto McKee Street.
Okay.
Any additional questions, Ms. Rushing?
No, I do not.
Mr. McMahon.
For Mr. Zinner and Mr. Palmer, refresh me on the UDC. These eight single-bedroom units would require eight parking places behind them. Is that correct?
1.5 per unit.
So 12 behind them.
Right.
Okay, and they do have parking on the street currently. The parking is allowed on McKee. Is that, that's the question I'm asking?
I believe on the east side only.
Okay.
But it's actually, there would be some additional parking because it's one for every five as well, so it would be 14 total parking spaces.
Okay, 14.
1.5 for each unit plus five, plus two extra since there's...
One for each portion there of five.
Right.
No more questions for staff at this time.
Mr. Palmer. Screening and buffering. This would be it's R2 existing adjacent and across the street.
Across the street, I believe, is RMF or it's actually on
R2.
R2.
Yeah, there is a strip of R2 directly across the street, and then the rest is PD.
But adjacent was it's R2.
Yes, everything adjacent to the property at this time is R2.
This would be a level one. Landscape buffer?
I believe so, yes. From RMF to R2.
And that's 6 feet wide. Is there any screening included in that or no?
It's just the landscape buffer.
Just the landscape buffer.
I thought there was a parking barrier, light barrier.
That would be independent of the property,
that would be a parking lot issue. Yeah. Okay.
And also dependent on the location of the parking lot, I believe. Yet to be determined.
Thank you. Any additional questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
If this stayed R2, 8 times 4, you said, we could have 32 bedrooms-ish.
Correct.
And they want to do single units here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 8 bedrooms versus 32 bedrooms.
That is right.
Okay.
Any additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll close staff questions and move on to public comment. If there's anyone that would like to make any public comment on this project, please come forward and give us your name and address for the record.
Andy Green with Crockett Engineering Consultants, 1000 West Nifong Boulevard, building number one. Rusty, thank you for switching me over and good job on the staff report. I'll kind of go over some bullet points and kind of retouch on some of the items that Rusty talked about. So what we got here is the McKee Street rezoning. I'm Andy Green with Crockett Engineering Consultants once again. Just a quick overview. The lot is a little bit less than 1 acre, about 0.85. Currently zoned R2, which would allow for duplexes. We'll get into the densities, basically what the lot size could handle duplex-wise, as Rusty has already mentioned. We're requesting a rezoning to RMF, which would allow for the one building, 8 single-bed units for a total of 8 beds. This RMF zoning does provide a transition between Clark Lane and the R2 developments. Basically, as you go north, this is a nice multifamily zoning before you get right into the R2. There are 2 PD zone properties to the south, and then the Lynx is obviously to the east a little bit on down the road. Like I said, adjacent to Clark Lane, which is a minor arterial. And then within 300 feet, Rusty mentioned the nodal locations that have your bulk density zoning. We are very close to Clark Lane and Ballinger Place. Just a little overview map, location map here. What you've got is the property north of Clark and east of Ballinger Lane, west. Current zoning is R2, which would allow for duplexes. Based on the current lot size and granting additional right-of-way, realistically, you could get 4 duplex lots on that, and so 4 bedrooms a pop would be 32 total beds. So what we're wanting to do is go to RMF and once again, one building with 8 one-bedroom units for a total of 8 beds. So it's less dense than what the R2 would allow for now. Other multifamily zoning are in the area to the north, as Rusty mentioned, McKee Street, PUD, and the other one, forget the name, but it's up there. So the reasons for this rezoning, the client came to us and they see a need for single bedroom units in Columbia. They build homes, that's what they do. It's People ask for the one bedrooms all the time, and he sees the hole in the market here and wants to fill that. One bedroom duplexes are not cost efficient to build, and so the rezoning to RMF would help him do that more efficiently. The multifamily zoning does act as a good transition between the major streets, Clark and Ballinger, as you transition into those less dense R2 zonings to the north. And once again, nodal locations placed in the higher densities developments is consistent with Columbia's comprehensive plan. So in conclusion, the rezoning would not increase traffic more than what it would be allowed under current R2 zoning, just based on the density, looking at 8 beds versus 32. There are a couple concerns with increased crime, as there are with that normally come with increased density. It's usually not the case and going to happen with a straight rezoning. The rezoning to RMF would be in conformance with the comprehensive plan. Once again, the nodal locations at those big intersections. We bring this request to you with staff support. Requested RMF zoning is appropriate for this location, according to staff, and that's basically it. So I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody's got.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the speaker? Ms. Burns.
I had one question. I don't think you're required to, with this, the development that you're talking about, submit a plan for trash. But is that something that's been discussed with your applicant, with your builder, and maybe with the neighbors?
It would likely be an on-site trash service to come pick up dumpster with screening requirements or whatever is required per the UDC. But it would be all on-site, no street-side trash pickup. But there have not been discussions with neighbors as far as trash.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? I see none at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
You put the slide up there that shows those three properties that you were talking about. Thank you. My name's Judy Johnson. I live at 1516 McKee Street in Columbia. Also, I represent the Zering Neighborhood Association, so I've spoke with several of the neighbors in the area about their concerns about this area. A little history, the 12 lots, 12 apartment house there, it's right across from where I live, and that is a low-income group of people that live in there, and there is a live-in person there for security, and it's all one floor. It's all flat. And the other property, from what I understand, ran out of money or something, and they weren't able to come with a plan. And one reason it was approved was because the city wanted more green space. But that area north of it, about where the trees are there, you'll see the trees, and then that little green spot, there's kind of like a little creek running through there, so it's kind of water going through there. Also, if you can bring up the other slide there, Rusty, where it shows closer to that lot, where, thank you.
You want?
The green one, yeah.
Back this way.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
North of this area is a real nice single family home. Then there's a green space, and there's, you can see that little white spot there, that's their second single family home. There's kind of a light area going down the middle there. That is a creek, not a creek, but the stormwater flows through that area. So, you know, it gets real heavy stormwater. One of our concerns is about having such a large parking space there. We'll have a lot of runoff there, flooding that into that area. The neighbor to the north has kind of a sloping yard that goes down into that. So we'll have quite a bit of runoff from all that parking space, that the concrete they'll be putting in there. You had asked about the trash. I know the people that have the 12-plex across from us, they have their trash bin in what's called the covered area, but it's close to the street, so it's not covered because they don't always get it back in there. So it's been, and I've had to call them and say, please get it back in there, but it's still from the street. You see the trash bin. So they'd almost have to put it back in the parking lot if they wanted to have it, you know, complete away from that. The neighbor to the north, she was very concerned about the cars going in and out of there, because they're talking about having the driveway next to her property, the north side of that lot, and the cars went going in and out, the lights would be shining into her bedroom window there, unless there was a fence or something put up there to kind of block that. Also, in my imagination, once you get this zoned R multifamily, we're not guaranteed they're going to put one bedrooms, are we? Until they present a plan. So if they don't follow through with their plan they got now, you okay this, we could end up with multi-bedrooms in a large building there. And we don't have anything of that nature there, and that's what's coming into our neighborhood, is this large building of an apartment complex. Now down the road, on the other side, you know, we have a whole area that's just multifamily homes and it's apartment complex there, and it's real nice and everything. But here we're going to just stick one right in the middle of a neighborhood, and that's going to be greeting people coming into our neighborhood. So there are some concerns about that. I understand they're saying, oh, you're going to have multi-fourplexes, four-bedroom. Most of the duplexes we have around there now are like three bedrooms each, you know, that we have there in there. It'd be interesting to see how a person could get all that into that little area there, especially with the groundwork and the flooding and all that stuff in there. So we just have some real questions about it and concerns, especially the runoff and stuff. I don't know what the lighting situation would be for the parking lot, you know, if they would have light pollution into, because right east of that is two duplexes next door to that. And I know the gentleman there, I spoke to him, and he was real concerned about the traffic on Clark Lane, because the traffic is real hard. You talked about street parking. Really, there's no street parking, because that's right there on that corner, and, you know, with a stop sign there and stuff. So by the time you get the driveway, there's not going to be any room for street parking there. So are there any questions?
Are there any questions for the speaker? Mr. McMahon.
I just want to clarify a couple points, and staff can help here a little bit. Am I correct in assuming that this development will have to control its runoff?
That would be correct.
As in, the reason I asked that question, you had expressed the concern about additional stormwater flowing into the neighboring properties. That is a grave concern of mine at all times. One of the things that we did when we put in the new code was to hopefully ensure that when these sites are developed, no more water will come off of that property than what comes off of it right now. You do have a concern. I thought about this. I just figured they're not required to, that plan is not written in stone. They could go bigger if they wished. And I would suggest that anyone is concerned, and I'm going to have a plug for Crockett Engineering, they've been very good to us. They haven't done the bait and switch thing. They've been very responsible. That is a concern that you should express. It's valid. To your other point about crammed in duplexes, if you want to go up and down William or an Ash, they can get four duplexes in there. They're almost butt to butt in those situations. But I think all your issues are quite valid and need to express. And having worked with Crockett in the past, and we see them, your issues of parking and lighting and stuff, they generally tend to be good people to work with. And I'm sure they won't make me feel bad now. those are all super valid concerns.
Yeah, well, you know, the way it is now, the ground is permeable, and, you know, and it absorbs the water. But, you know, when you add all that concrete, you got to have more runoff than you would normally.
That's what Crockett does.
And, you know, there is kind of a ditch that runs down along Clark Lane there, but there's a tree growing right there in the ditch where it's supposed to go through, you know, and it's not maintained.
And that's where you as neighbors need to hold whoever owns and develops that property to the responsible standard. If you're getting more water off or there's a problem, so you need to present it, because whatever comes off of it right now, that's supposed to be the cap. Even if the engineers can fix these issues, then they need to...
After it's done, though, what do you do about it? I mean, after concrete's put down there...
Exactly. The procedure, you could talk to Mr. Zenner over there on exactly how to report that problem. But it's certainly something you need to pay attention to.
And as staff had pointed out, the proposed development is smaller than what the current zoning would allow. So that footprint, I mean, the footprint you're discussing would need to address that regardless of what zoning what zoning is.
Thank you. Are there any
additional questions for this speaker? I see none at this time. Thank you. Are there any additional speakers on this case? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing portion of this. Commissioner discussion.
A question.
Perhaps Ms. Carroll.
Staff. So given that Crockett Engineering usually does build what they say they're building, is there any risk once they get the rezoning that the owners take time on their project and eventually sell before it's built, and now they have an RMF zoned that another owner with another company could build something much larger on?
With the open zoning, that's always going to be a concern. As I said, though, in the staff report, what they're proposing now and what could potentially be built on this property in an RMF zone is not all that far apart. I don't know exactly what they could build there, but given site constraints, being a small site, and all the other aspects that have to be addressed, specifically parking for one, if they have, 10 units on the property, they're probably already butting up against the property lines with their parking lot. So I think there are limitations size-wise as far as what they can do there that are not all that out of line with what they're asking to do now.
So are you saying that, okay, they're proposing 8 duplexes, is that correct, with 2 bedrooms in each?
Now I'm all mixed up. It's 8 one-bedroom units in a single multifamily building.
No, I thought he said they were going to be 2-bedroom units.
No, 1-bedroom.
1-bedroom?
Yes.
Okay.
You're right. That can happen.
The purpose is a clarification, and just so we understand what we're discussing here, we're not discussing a future development plan. The development numbers are provided here for contextual purposes. We are talking about the appropriateness of a land use classification at this intersection. All of the details associated with the development of this property, i.e. the stormwater, the required parking, all of that will be determined at the time that an actual development site plan is submitted. And we have a very, very stringent set of standards that has to be met. As Mr. McMahon pointed out, post-development flow can be no greater than pre-development flow, and that means that an engineer will have to design a detention system by which to retain that water on site. Parking is a pretty standard calculation, and the building footprint, which we don't know anything about at this point, is going to constrain the site when all other things are considered, all of your other improvements. The question here is an RMF zoning classification appropriate given its context, given its location at the intersection of McKee and Clark, 500 feet to the west of Ballinger, along a major roadway? Is this a transitional use? That's the question that needs to be posed here. Yes, the applicants provided us what their intention is, but there is always the possibility, as we've pointed out here, the development density could increase. In an RMF perspective, from the 8 one-bedroom units to a combination of different unit types. However, all things being considered equal, parking will probably dictate how many units could ever be built in a non one-bedroom format, because parking is what is going to absorb the most amount of site area. The R2 with the eight duplex units is still going to have a parking requirement with it. So is that maybe a realistic maximum that could be achieved? It could only be three units when you tie in all of the other improvements that may need to be made. So is R2 appropriate? Is RMF appropriate? I believe our staff report is pointing out that given the context of the intersection and the other areas around it, we believe RMF is an appropriate zoning classification, and we're not really considering what the applicant is proposing to build as much as we are evaluating what the land use spectrum may be.
But my understanding is RMF, they could have up to 56 units. Is that correct?
That's theoretically, practically speaking, you would never be able to do 56 units and meet your parking requirement.
So how many approximately?
I don't know. I'm not a designer, and our staff doesn't design sites for our applicants. We're looking at a land use context question.
But with that land
use... Ms. Carroll.
Sorry. With that land use context, though, granted that they wouldn't be able to achieve the whole 56 units likely with parking, including that parking as part of the consideration of the impacts of that land use, because you would then have a much larger parking lot that you wouldn't have within R2, even if an R2 were to have more duplexes on it.
Yeah, and I believe the number 56 would potentially refer to bedrooms and not units, just so.
Okay, 17.4.
Yeah, it's 0.85 acres, so with that number, you'd be looking at
14 units, I believe you told us.
Sounds right.
Right, you're correct. I apologize. So 14 units on that piece of property.
Any additional discussion? Anyone have a motion? We still have a quorum.
Okay, I just didn't see him leave.
Mr. Stanton.
As it relates to case 142-2019, McKee Street Apartments rezoning, I move to rezone from R2 to RMF.
Is there a second?
I'll second for voting purposes.
Thank you. Second by Ms. Burns. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Mr. Toohey, just to recap, Mr. Stanton's made a motion to approve rezoning from R2 to RMF. It was seconded by Ms. Burns. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Ms. Burns, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Rushing?
No.
Mr. Toohey?
Yes.
My vote is no. Ms. Carroll?
No.
Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
4-3 motion carries. All right,
four to three. And given that that wasn't 75%, this item will show up under old business on the council agenda when it is presented.
Showing up as old business means that it's still open for public comment when it comes forward to City Council.
At second read. That would be at the second reading.
When would it be scheduled?
One moment here and I can tell you that.
One moment while we check the City Council schedule.
The August 5th is when the public hearing, when the required second reading would occur. So,
moving on to case 143-2019, a request by a civil group on behalf of the Callaway Bank for a rezoning of 32.38 acres of property, including lots 1502, C-1502, 1503, C-1503, 1504, and C-1504 of Auburn Hills Plat 15, and lots 1202 and 1203 of Auburn Hills Plat 12. The request would rezone the property from planned development to a mix of mixed-use corridor MC, mixed-use neighborhood MN, and mixed-use office MOF. The property is generally located east of North Highway 763, north of Brown School Road, south of International Drive, and west of Eddington Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. As you mentioned, this is a request to rezone 8 lots from the Auburn Hills commercial site to a mix of mixed uses. So that would be mixed-use commercial, mixed-use neighborhood, and mixed-use office. We had a public information meeting on May the 28th. We also had advertisement in the Tribune on June the 4th. I sent 29 postcards for the public information meeting and then 29 letters to adjacent property owners to let them know of the public hearing this evening. So to orient ourselves to the site, this is approximately 32 acres out of the larger 200 Auburn Hills site that was zoned a variety of CP, R1, and other mixed zones in 2001. Specifically on this site, we're looking at the 8 parcels I have outlined. Lot 1502 here, it is proposed to be split zone between MC, MN, and MOF. The other lots are all proposed to be MC. Over here, we've got the Mosier's Food site right here, and then last year you approved a PD plan for the Molly Bowden Neighborhood Police Center, which is right here on the site. To the north here is the Center Point Hospital. To the west is some county RS zone property, although my discussion with the county indicated that there is thoughts that this area might transition over time to more intensive uses as the market supports that. To the south, we've got a mix of city CP commercial and county ML or light industrial zoning, and then over here we've got the broader Auburn Hills residential areas. This is primarily R1 over here. So the statement of intent that was approved for the CP, now PD or plan development zoning in 2001, allowed all C3 uses. It did not exempt any C3 at the time uses out. It also included a few agricultural and light industrial uses as well. And the request this evening is for about 77% of the site to be zoned to straight MC, and then about 4 acres MOF, as I mentioned right here, and then about 3.67 acres to be MN. The applicant has indicated that this will provide a little bit of a softer transition than what is currently allowed under the CP zoning to this R1 zone over here. Staff also agrees that that will provide sort of a buffering transition between the higher level commercial and then the neighborhood right here. I'd also like to note that the residential areas in Auburn Hills have done, I would say, better in terms of development propensity build out over the last 18 years in this commercial zone, but those residential areas have been developed with the understanding that this would be a commercial area since it's been zoned commercial since 2001 under this CP plan, and actually most of it was zoned MC prior to that. So not all of the Auburn Hills larger 200-acre zoning is being affected by this, as I mentioned, and not all of this is going to be taken from plan development plan areas. So that Auburn Hills Plat 16 PD plan that you approved last year for the police center right here will remain in PD zoning and subject to that PD plan. There's a couple of other sites, specifically the Mosier's right here, that were part of the approved Auburn Hills South 32.8 acre CP plan approved in 2007. That will remain in PD zoning and it will be subject to those PD plans as applicable. But the property that the applicant has requested to be taken out of the PD zoning will not be subject to those CP plans if you support that rezoning. The applicant has indicated that rezoning may help facilitate development of this site. A lot of it has remained vacant over time as the larger area has developed. That is very likely a product of just timing. As I mentioned in the staff report, that a lot of this property, the PD plan was approved in 2007. The Great Recession hit. It was difficult for some commercial areas because of that. But additionally, while we like plan developments because they allow some oversight and also the opportunity to be a little bit more creative in your mix of uses and other design features, PD plans require revisions. So any potential tenant or owner or new owner coming in might potentially have to do a PD plan amendment in order to fulfill their development. So that introduces some uncertainty into the process and certainly also some time and effort for any potential redevelopment, both for the applicant and then the staff as well. So there's sort of a weighing in instances such as this where the request is to take property from plan zoning into straight zoning. There's some benefits, and then there are also some loss of development controls that we inherently have with PD planning. So that is part of our determination and yours as we review these kinds of requests. So when looking at the larger land use mix and then what Columbia Imagine calls for and then what the existing use is allowed under that existing CP, now PD plan zoning, we looked at all that as sort of the urban fabric. Columbia Imagine does support this area as a commercial area. The expectation of folks in this area for the last 20 plus years has been that it would be developed commercially. And given the approved uses in the existing SOI, the request as presented by the applicant is really no more intensive than what the existing zoning would allow. In addition, the MC zoning has a couple of uses that are a little bit different than what the original CP plan allowed, and so we actually see a bit of a down zoning with this request in terms of a couple of uses. As I mentioned in the staff report, are conditional in the MC straight zone versus they were permitted in the original zoning. Additionally, there's a little bit of modernization that goes on. So recently, for instance, the city added medical marijuana dispensaries, artisan industries, a couple other more modern uses to keep up with modern times to our zoning code. And so that would allow for straight zone properties to have that modernization as the code evolves over time and not have to come and ask for a PD plan amendment if they want to take advantage of new uses allowed by the city. Additionally, as I mentioned, the MN and the MOF areas are a little bit more restrictive in terms of the uses that are allowed versus what the underlying the underlying approved zoning for the site would allow. So we agree that that would probably provide a little bit of a softer transition across Edenton Boulevard while still sort of maintaining the intent of the Columbia Imagine commercial designation at the nodal area. So after all of that analysis, we are recommending approval of the requested rezoning as presented by the applicant, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Planner Bacon, this area is a CID, yes?
Yes, it is.
The entire thing.
Yes, so there are some private covenants as well that the site is subject to with that.
Just for his historical sake, Callaway took over from the previous owner for these particular lots. Is that correct?
Yes, take over.
I'm not going to go further down that line.
We will go with that. Yes.
All right. But the CID is still in effect completely, right?
Correct.
All right.
Any additional questions for staff? Ms. Bacon, I'm going to go back to my earlier question. On the 2007 plan, the buildings across from the R2 are indicated to be retail sized generally under 10,000 square feet. So I understand that the new plan is showing the MN across from the R1, but I am curious about that MC across from the R2 and what might be allowed in that area.
Sure. It would absolutely be what is allowed under the MC zoning. So the highest and best use would be the potential in that straight zoned area.
Including also gas stations, drive-throughs, the other similar list of things that we've run into in these situations.
Correct. All permitted uses would be allowed if the rezoning is approved.
And how stringently would they have been held to this 2007 plan? I mean, would they have been able to change this, building sizes from this?
So it would fall.
I'm trying to figure out how much the neighborhoods built with the understanding that this might be what was going in.
Sure, and I can certainly put the plan under the light, too, if we want to reference it. So it would be subject to the rules as they were for PD plans in 2007, what would constitute a major versus a minor amendment. So similar as at the last meeting we reviewed a major amendment, the same rules as they would have been applied in 2007 would be applied to this site.
Major amendment, Ms. Lowe, under the UDC requires going through the designation process, the PD designation process. So if the applicant were to want to make changes that constituted a major revision under the 2007 zoning code, Chapter 29, that would necessitate, under today's UDC, going through the UDC procedure. So it is far more significant. The ramifications are more significant to change the plan from the 2007 plan. You'd be impacted by having to then become fully compliant with all of our current UDC standards. This request is being precipitated by the desire to sell the MOF parcel of property to a nonprofit that is up off of Edenton. In the process of facilitating that sale, the applicant desires to increase the general marketability of the property versus a planned district. So it's a half a dozen one or the other. There was a conversation about amending the current 2007 plan, which would be right where we're at right now, or seek to eliminate the planned district designation on the property in its entirety, given that that seems to have been what is often considered the stumbling block for most commercial tracts of land in order to get them started in the development tract. Creating greater levels of certainty is something that Callaway Bank is looking for to a future buyer versus the uncertainty that a planned district may have, as well as efficiency. So without a planned district, the ability to condition the uses permitted on the property, it doesn't exist because we can't contract zone in a straight zoning district. MN would allow a gas station as well, directly across from the R2. That is something that as a conditional use.
As conditional.
So, I mean, that is potentially an option if you're uncomfortable as a commission with the MC. However, I think from our analysis, looking at what was previously permitted on that parcel, the MC in its more condensed fashion with the buffering between the R1 neighborhood appeared to be appropriate to us.
I understand the motivation, and I have no problem with that. To me, it appears that the southern boundary of the previous site was more in keeping with the MN, what we would consider MN, and what I'm seeing proposed changes almost all of that to MC. I'm not as concerned about it in the southwest corner of the site where we're closer to the major intersection, but I do still have some questions about it where it's across from residential.
What was depicted on the 2007 plan could have been intense commercial use as well. The C3 zoning district would allow a retail strip center to be constructed there, no different than what we would allow today in MC. So square footage manipulations would be considered something as a minor modification under the 2007 criteria. And shifting the building around in order to accommodate a more intense use than what may appear to be offices or low-level retail or something that we probably would have handled differently. Part of this, again, goes with the idea that breaking the larger track 1502 up in order to create the parcels that are being proposed are what really the general motivation is here. The frontage along Brown School, MC frontage today, now that it doesn't have a picture on it, doesn't change the intensity of the uses that could have been built there under the old version on the lots that were shown. We could eliminate lot lines and consolidate the square footage that were shown on the plan as a minor amendment, as long as the square footage didn't get exceeded.
So they could have consolidated footage but not doubled the square footage.
Correct.
Total.
Right. So you have two lots that may have two 10,000 square foot buildings on them. You could eliminate the two lots, have 20,000 square feet of building area, and build a strip center. And that was permitted under the C3 uses. So that's, I guess, why I'm saying what I'm saying, is the intensity, just because we're eliminating lot lines and going to a straight zone, doesn't really change the intensity that was potential under as a minor amendment.
Thank you. Any additional questions for staff? If not, we'll move into public comment period. If anyone has any public information they would like to share, please give us your name and address for the record.
Yes, my name is Jay Gephardt. Own a civil group here in Columbia at 3401 Broadway Business Park Court. Here tonight representing Callaway Bank, and my main purpose here is to answer questions that you may have. The obvious one that Ms. Lowe has brought up, I'll go ahead and address as best I can. When we looked at this for the MC, one of the contributing factors was is that as you come up Brown School Road, that first entrance is a right-in and right-out only. The only way, if you're on Brown School Road, to turn left into the site is the second entrance. And because that's more car intensive, we felt having that corner stay with the MC uses was more appropriate. We also, when considering the R2 across the street, Brown School Road is a 110-foot right-of-way. It's built, the developer built it, both lanes, and there is a center median there, so there's quite a bit of distance for those. Also, when I designed the R2 on the other side, they're more inward directed. They have their outside facing out, or their backs facing out, and they're more central. So we feel like this is a good request. As staff has indicated, it's being precipitated by a big barrier to selling this in that planned districts and all the uncertainty and the cost to prepare them and the time it takes to get them approved all affects the ability of buyers to make decisions on whether they want to buy this or not. Lastly, on the MC, there is a discussion of a dry cleaner. And they're looking at that corner specifically because of the left turn in. So I don't foresee that developing in a large C-store type of lot. Also, staff did not address this, but this kind of zigzag lot in there is actually the road that's road system, and there's a private road system, and it's been indicated to us by staff that that private road system would have to continue to the east out to Edenton. It may not go exactly like what's on the previous plan, but it would carve that lot up into separate lots in the future. And the reason we're not doing that now is because the bank is not a developer. The bank took this back in foreclosure. They've been trying to sell it for many years, and they want a developer to come in and then make those type of decisions and those plans. So I hope that addresses your issues. Does anyone else have? Yes, Mr. Stanton.
Any questions for Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Stanton.
Is the police station still proposed to go there?
It is still, and I don't know the status of when it will start, but there is an improved plan.
So they're keeping the land, and it's that's not part of this whole deal.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, the two parcels on Rangeline are part of the request that front or in between the police station and Rangeline. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Any additional questions? Mr. Gephardt, just to follow up on my question, do I understand that you were involved with the R2 across the street?
Yes. It's actually a PUD, but yeah.
They look like they were built as townhouses?
They are, and I do believe Mr. Pellick owns all of them all still, but he did condo them as individual units to be sold individually.
And you implied that the design of them anticipated more commercial or heavier use on that north side.
So
my main interest is, especially in deferred developments like this, when developments come in around it, being sensitive and to whatever they understood might have been there. So,
yeah, so the CPE, I was involved in this from the very beginning, and the CPE was picked, and the uses that we picked were to give the developer the most flexibility for that. But having knowing that we could have C3 uses across the street and we have to sell this PUD, that buyer, when he bought that, he knew that those C3 uses were across the street. So we tried to do what we could for design to minimize that impact. Hope that answers your question.
That does help.
Okay.
Thank you. Any additional questions for Mr. Gebhardt? Mr. Stanton.
Now, those apartments on Brown School Road that were designed to be condos, those are rentals now, right? Are they?
Right. One person owns them and rents
them. They rent them all. Okay. So they're not condos now. They're just rental properties. Okay.
Any additional questions? I see none. Thank you, Mr. Gebhardt.
Thank you.
Any additional speakers on this case? Seeing none, we'll close public hearing. Commission discussion. Mr. McMahon.
If no one has anything to say, I have a motion. In the matter of Auburn Hills commercial rezoning from PD to, I don't have that in front of me. Request by civil group on behalf of Callaway Bank for rezoning of 32.38 acres of property, including lots 1502, C 1502, 1503, C 1503, 1504, and C 1504 of Auburn Hills Plat 15, and lots 1202 and 1203 of Auburn Hills Plat 12. The request would rezone the property from PD to mixed use corridor, mixed use neighborhood, mixed use office. I move that we accept.
Second.
I approve. Thank you.
I'm going to give it to Mr. Toohey. Sorry, Ms. Rushing. We have a second by Mr. Toohey. Any discussion on this motion? Mr. Toohey.
So I will say this part of town is very underserved with commercial. And so I plan on to support this. Moving this to straight zoning was one of the intentions of the UDO so that we have less planned zoning. So I'm more than happy to add straight zoning to these properties.
Mr. McMahon.
I will say that for a period of time, I spent a lot of time near this intersection, and the neighbors have wanted it to develop for 10 years. Just FYI, I know that was a general sentiment at the time when I spent time up there.
And my additional comment is going to be, if anyone has any expertise,
I had a conversation with a neighbor about a quarter mile away.
That they would like to disclose at this time, please do so, so all commissioners have the same information on behalf of this case in front of them. Seeing none. Ms. Burns, may we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Rushing.
Yes.
Mr. Toohey.
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll.
Yes.
Ms. Lowe.
Yes.
Mr. McMahon.
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
7-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to our last case of the evening, case 146-2019, a request by Columbia College for an update to their existing campus master plan. The Columbia College campus master plan was last updated in 2017. This update would be to address significant land use changes on Columbia College properties since the last update, which include changes in use at 904 North 8th Street and at 1100 Wilkes Boulevard. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. So real quick, this item was actually on the same schedule as my previous item earlier. The public info meeting was on May 28th. There were actually 104 postcards sent for this, and it was advertised on the 4th. So you guys may actually remember, some of you anyway, that we've done this particular property and campus master plan update fairly recently. Section 29.3L of the UDC does permit higher education institutions in all zoning districts, granting that they give us a campus master plan and they keep it updated on a regular basis. Typically, we would like to see those roughly every 5 years. And then in instances where there are major changes to their land uses or physical building arrangement or whatever. The latter is the case today for this plan update. Again, it was last updated 2017. So as the as Columbia College continues to grow in student population, they are constantly evolving their uses and their buildings and adapting to that increased population and the changing of needs associated with it. In this instance, specifically, two properties are changing in use, and at a concept review meeting roughly 2 months ago, we told Mr. Jarvis that the school should probably update their master plan to show those uses so that everyone is well aware of what's happening on the property. So those two properties are circled on this map here. The green property to the north west corner there, kind of central to the overall property, but northwest to the main body of the property. That is actually 904 North 8th Street. That was previously student housing. It was not on the previous master plan at all, actually, because it was not, I don't believe it was in their possession at the time. And so they've recently purchased it. They had students living in it for at least a year or so. Now they see a need for additional student service, student support services. For example, counseling services and advising. So they thought this would be a good location for that. The white box just to the north of that, just for reference, is actually the parking lot associated with that building. One thing to note about this property is that is the Barnes Confectionery Building, which is a local most notable historic property. It doesn't really have any bearing on what they're doing there, but it is nice to know that they're, you know, using the property and adapting it to their needs, and not just you know, tearing it down and building something new. So, just a side note there. And then the other building is 1100 Wilkes Boulevard, and I believe previously that was a maintenance facility. They see a need there actually for expanded athletic facilities. It is adjacent to their soccer field, and it's just north of, I believe, their e-gaming facility. So I'm not sure exactly the use, but it will be an athletic facility. So with that, I think this is a fairly straightforward request. It's just changing basically the zoning, if you will. It's the master plan, obviously, but on those two properties, and those are the only two changes. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. Before I read the ex parte, are there any commissioner comments? Mr. Stanton?
Oh, I was going to,
I can read it first. Ex parte. Never too late. So any commissioner who has had any ex parte prior to this meeting related to case 146-2019, please disclose that now so all commissioners may have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Seeing none.
Madam Chair, I do have something.
Mr. Stanton.
I am an executive officer for the Land Trust, and we are working on some stuff on upper part of 8th Street, and we work really closely with Columbia College and may do so in the future, so I may recuse myself just to be safe.
Understood. We appreciate your gesture. Anyone else? Seeing none. Any questions for staff? Seeing none, I'm going to open up the floor for public comments. If anyone would like to come forward and make public comments on this case, we would appreciate that. Please give us your name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Cliff Jarvis. I represent Columbia College, 1001 Roger Street. And yes, indeed, we were here just not very long ago, a couple years ago, to talk about the development plan that needed to be updated for us to build a new residence hall. And that thing is under construction and should be finished by the time students are ready to come back in about 60 days. As Mr. Palmer indicated, that we've got a couple of buildings that we have owned for a while that we have decided that would best serve the college if we repurpose them. And in order to do that, we've got to do some renovation to both. And of course, that requires a building permit. And that's the process. This is part of the process, is to update our development plan, reflect the new use to get the permit, and let everybody know what we're doing. So you have the information. Rusty's description is accurate, so I'll answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Jarvis?
I just wanted to clarify.
Ms. Carroll?
The existing structures remain?
Yes.
Any additions? Sorry. Go
ahead. It'll all be internal.
Any additional questions for Mr. Jarvis? I see none.
Thank you.
Commissioner discussion. Oh, any other speakers on this case? Seeing none, we'll close public hearing. Commissioner discussion. Mr. McMahon.
If we have no comments or questions, I have a motion. In the matter of case 146-2019, request by Columbia College to update their master plan, I move that we approve.
Second.
Second by Ms. Rushing. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, Ms. Burns, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Carroll?
Yes.
Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes, ma'am.
6-0, motion carries.
Thank you. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That wraps up our cases for the evening. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, are there any staff comments?
Yes, there are, as always.
How was the trip, Mr. Zenner?
It was exhausting. It was a 10 and a half, 11-hour drive today from Asheville.
Doesn't the beard show?
Yes. I won't look like this when you see me again, so those in TV land, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, unless I do a no-shave November. Your next meeting will be on July 18th. You have the 4th of July off. That is the next Thursday, and I will be again away working on my property, so I get to look like this. But we do have some upcoming cases for the July 18th meeting, if I am not incorrect. There are just these two. The Shapiro PD plan, this is a major amendment. This is a rezoning request to incorporate medical marijuana as a use into the statement of intent, corner of Rogers and College Avenue, if I'm not incorrect. We'll see that here on the map in a moment. And then the West Ash PD plan and rezoning at 906 West Ash. This is a proposal to do some infill development in an alternative housing layout that is not common. And in order to be able to accomplish that, it is a planned district request. And as a PD, it is a requirement that the plan come with the rezoning. So they have submitted both. Public information meeting was recently held on this. to which there were a number of concerns expressed as it relates to stormwater. Our PD planning process is conceptual, so there is likely going to have it may be tweaked slightly, but we should have an understanding generally of how stormwater will be handled, and we will be able to address that probably through the staff report after consultation with our building and site development staff. Those are the two items on the agenda for the 18th. Just so we can familiarize ourselves with where they are located, as I said, the Shapiro request is there on the corner of Rogers and College. And then our 906 West Ash Street is this paddle, what I would refer to as a paddle lot, has frontage and it comes back out to Ash and then it widens out in the rear. Proposal is to have a street come in off of Ash to gain access to some individual structures that are being proposed on the property, if I'm not incorrect, an in-common housing approach. So something different that we haven't seen in the past. And the planned district designation actually encourages, if not looks at these types of alternative design formats as something that we are interested in having. Those are the only two items that you have on your agenda for the 18th. The 18th's work session, as we discussed this evening, will be a continuation of our discussion on short-term rental, so we can get a little bit of additional feedback back from the commission. I thank you for having that robust discussion this evening. Staff will start to distill comments made tonight to try to work on some text, but we really will not prepare a full revision to the March 1st draft that we're currently working with until we have gone through the last question or two that we have that was posed in tonight's staff memo. And then when we have that information completed, we'll be reproducing a draft and have a discussion with the commission if you want another public listening session or if we want to just take that revised draft directly to a public hearing. But we will get to that on the 18th of July then. Enjoy your 4th's holiday, and we will look forward to seeing you at the end of the month.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commission comments. Mr. McMahon.
I actually have a comment and a question. I'm going to make a comment, and I'm going to run it by our attorney when I do make it. In regards to the development which Mr. Gephardt presented, I had significant amount of information about the previous owner. However, once that transferred to the new owner, I don't know anything about Callaway Bank. So I didn't feel it was necessary to bring that information forward, nor did it have bearing on land use. Mr. Caldera, is that an appropriate approach there, do you think?
If you ever are in doubt, it's always good to disclose. However, given that, I mean, looking at the conflict of interest statutes, I don't think that knowledge about a previous owner of a property would necessarily cause you to be incapable of rendering a fair decision in this case. So I don't think there's a problem with that.
All right. Thank you.
Any additional commissioner comments? Seeing none, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Thank you, Ms. Burns.
Second.
Second by Ms. Rushing. We are adjourned.